22. Nothing is ever really over. On the top floor of a tall glass tower with the word fantail and its stylized bird symbol etched down the side of the window so as to catch the light at dawn, there was a pristine office of steel and silicone. The long working table was made of blue sheared glass, artfully cracked and held in place by a thin polymer layer. There were views on three sides, for the whole room was a cantilevered box, swung out from the fantail building over the city of San Francisco and held in place as if it were floating in midair. It was meant to suggest the extended branch of a redwood, of particular symbolic significance to this organization and its founder. The office was carpeted with a white rug so thick and deep that when Martha Einkorn stepped onto it in her bare feet, it was as if she could feel the forest moving beneath her. Martha Einkorn arrived at this office every morning at dawn, or just after it. She always arrived between 5 a.m. and 5:30 a.m. That was her time for solitary morning reflection. It had been vital to the company in that exceptionally difficult and turbulent time when Martha Einkorn emerged as its unlikely savior. She worked tirelessly, not just to ensure shareholder value and consistent growth in this most challenging of markets, but also to enact value-driven change on a corporate, national, and global scale. This she did, she said in numerous interviews, to preserve the legacy of Lenk, to keep alive the ideals and vision of the man she knew perhaps better than any other, to grow from the seeds he planted a yet mightier tree. Lenk Skettlish, founder and CEO of Fantail, had disappeared, of course, in the tech plane tragedy a little more than 3 years earlier. This time between 5 a.m. and 5:30 a.m. was precious to her, she said in the interviews. That was when she felt Lenk's spirit so close she could almost hear his voice. She could never be interrupted at this time. She spent it in silent thought, in meditation, in almost physical communion with all that Lenk had taught her. It was her time to learn what Lenk would like her to do with his company and to respond to it. At 5:30 a.m. on this day, as on every other, she was sitting at the shattered glass work table in the cantilevered box overlooking the city. She was contemplating the day ahead. She had one of Lenk's old laptops nearby, a constant reminder, she said, of his presence, as if he were always with her. On this day, as on every other, at 5:30 a.m. precisely, a small alarm began to sound on Lenk's laptop. It would sound on every other laptop he'd ever owned, if Martha Einkorn had not meticulously deleted this particular piece of software from all of Lenk's other electronic devices, including those that had already been set aside for the Lenk Skettlish Museum of Creativity, for which ground was already being broken on an island in the bay. If Martha Einkorn had not used Lenk's passwords, to which only she had access, to remove this piece of software, the alarm would sound on every laptop and Fantail tablet and smartphone and Fantail watch he'd owned. But if the alarm were removed from every device, it could not be acknowledged. And if it were not acknowledged and dismissed within 15 minutes, it would begin a chain reaction of further warnings, requests for confirmation by further third parties, and if those could not give a satisfactory report, automatic deployment of drones and notifications to search and rescue authorities. It was a very serious matter to authorize the use of a tracking chip embedded in a person's body. Lenk Skettlish set up his systems with a great deal of care and thought. He didn't want just anyone to be able to track him in any circumstances. He set up a dead man's switch. If he hadn't logged into any of his usual devices after 24 hours, an alarm would sound. If he himself didn't turn it off, it would be authorized to release the details of his tracking chip to the relevant authorities. In the cantilevered office overlooking the city, Martha Einkorn dialed a certain number into the safe built into the steel floor of the room. She pulled out the laptop, which was giving off a soft metallic chime. She opened it, plugged it in, looked at the screen. Confirm, said the screen. Lenk Skettlish personal alarm has been activated. Confirm that you are safe, Lenk. She tapped in Lenk's password. She listened to the soft chime as if it were Lenk's own nagging voice. On this day, as on every other, Martha Einkorn turned the alarm off.